You're listening to LifeWork Q&A, episode 112. Hey there, and welcome to LifeWork Q&A, where I answer a listener question each week and provide resources and guidance to help you take your life and work to the next level. I'm your host, Dr. Katie Linder. On today's episode, I thought I would talk a little bit about kryptonite. And a couple episodes ago, I talked about superpowers and mentioned the concept of kryptonite. So I thought I would tackle that a little bit today. Kryptonite is basically the opposite of a superpower. It's kind of like an Achilles heel. This is something that you know about yourself that is a little bit more challenging. It could be a weakness or an area where you're just really, you struggle in particular ways. And it can feel like it is something that works against you in terms of really letting you leverage your strengths or your superpowers. But I would argue, and I talk a lot with my coaching clients about this, that the more you know about your kryptonite or your kryptonites, I think there can be plural, the easier it is to identify them in the moment and to navigate and kind of mitigate them. And I think that it is really just something where a kryptonite area is something that you could certainly develop if you tried hard enough. I definitely have a growth mindset around this idea of kryptonite, but it's going to be a little bit harder to do that. And you might be able to build a solid base, but it's probably pretty challenging to have a kryptonite become something like a superpower. So other people might come to something naturally, and you're going to have to work a lot harder to get there. So let me give a few examples of this from my own experience. One that I've talked about a lot is that I lack emotional intelligence. This is not an area that comes naturally to me, and I can still do it. And for those of you who don't know, emotional intelligence is kind of the ability to read other people and to have kind of natural feelings of empathy for them. And I'm not a robot, but I definitely am someone who is a doer, and I like to focus on getting things done. So one example of how this comes out, or how it used to come out, is like in the workplace. When I manage a team, I might come in on Monday morning and be like, okay, what are we up to? What's on the to-do list? What are we working on this week? And I wouldn't naturally say, how was your weekend? You know, what did you do? How did you have fun? Like, I wouldn't necessarily go into kind of those check-in kind of questions. Now I do that. I've trained myself to do that. But I'm also one of those people that when I write emails, I write the content of what I want in the email first, and then I circle back to the top and say, how are you? I hope this email finds you well. And I kind of add in those layers of emotional intelligence. Now, this is something that once I realized that it was lacking, and I would say this is something I realized maybe like 5 or 7 years ago, I started to pretty actively work on it because I felt like it was one of those things that is really about collegiality. It's about likability. And I, knowing that it was a deficit, I started to look around to watch other people who did it well. I read books on it. I started to think about particular situations where I might be needing to practice it more. But also I just realized that this is part of who I am. This is like not something that's natural for me, and that's okay. It's part of my kind of personality, but it's something that I need to be aware of, in especially in particular contexts. Now, this is something that also, in addition to impacting my professional life, certainly impacts my personal life in terms of my family members, my partner, and how I interact with them on a day-to-day basis. And it's important to know and for them to know that kind of a lack of emotional intelligence is my default mode. So when I'm particularly tired or I've, you know, had a long week at work or something like that, it's going to be harder for me to practice that than when I'm kind of on the top of my game. So that's one example of something that I've actively worked on to the point where other people have actually noticed and kind of mentioned it as a strength. And I would say in certain times and areas when I know I really need to do it, it's a strength. Like, for example, when I'm at a speaking engagement or when I'm leading a workshop, I'm very careful about like reading the room and making sure that I'm reacting as a speaker or a presenter in a way that helps people to be engaged in the activities. But it's not something that I can do 100% of the time, you know, without a lot of effort. So here are some other examples. And I think you'll start to see a pattern with these examples in terms of how I've been able to leverage them, even though they're my kryptonite. So another one, which I've also talked about pretty frequently on the show, is introversion. And I know a lot of people don't necessarily think about this as kryptonite. And It definitely, Susan Cain's book, Quiet, which I can link to in the show notes, would argue that this can be very much a strength. But in certain situations, it's a little bit challenging to be an introvert because you get so drained and you really have to plan around it. And my recent conference travel, I think, is a good example. I mentioned on the show that I had a pretty heavy conference season and speaking schedule. And by the end of it, I was pretty tired. And if you don't take the time as an introvert to kind of recharge and to come back from that, I think it's relatively easy to get sick, to get burned out. So that's one of those things where, again, if you plan for it and you know yourself well enough and you know that this is just part of who you are, then you have to build it into your schedule. You have to kind of think ahead of time about what it is you're going to need. Another example is what Emily Wapnick calls being a multi-potentialite. I will link to her book in the show notes as well called How to Be Everything. And some people would also say this is kind of a kryptonite, that multi-potentialites like to do and be lots of different kinds of things. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you know I definitely fall into this category where I like to do lots of different services and products in my business. The fact that I even have a side business in addition to my full-time job, I get bored relatively easily and I have to add new things to my plate to kind of keep myself engaged. All of these things are signs of being a multi-potentialite. And for many people, this makes them feel kind of set apart from others, that this is a detriment because society in many ways is not set up to support multi-potentialites. It can be detrimental to your bank account if you're constantly trying new things or going for new degrees or those kinds of things. I think being a multi-potentialite can also be challenging because from a very early part of our academic careers, we're expected to major in something and to pick one career. And this is certainly changing a little bit. I think millennials are kind of career hopping a little bit more. Technically, I do fall into the millennial category, but it is a bit challenging to not kind of nail yourself down to one trajectory and to like to try different kinds of things. Now, as you've seen from me talking about on this show and from the business I've built, this is something I've been able to leverage in my favor, even though it's not something that is easy to do. It's been actually, I think, really good for my side business that I try lots of different things, that I figure out what works best for me, that I'm open to experimentation, and that I'm willing to take some degree of risk because it's fun and I want to try out new things. Okay, a couple more examples here. One example of one of my kryptonites is I am very impatient. And I think this is something I've talked about on the show before, that once I have an idea or once I want to do something, I want to do it right now. And one of the ways that I have mitigated this, and in the beginning, it was pretty by accident. It was not something that I think I recognized, was when I met my partner and we got married. And he is someone who's incredibly patient and balances out my impatience quite a bit. And this is something that, again, at the time, I was probably too young to realize that this is what I was doing. But it's really worked out in my favor to be partnered with someone who can balance that out. And in particular, he's my business partner as well, so he can balance that out with our business. But it's something that I know that I'm challenged by. I recognize it. And so at this point, I can kind of force myself to wait to make bigger decisions because I know that I need to kind of think things through. But also it's helpful for me to have the planning kind of superpower that I have because that helps if I'm planning towards something, even if it's for a relatively long time, I'm not going to feel as impatient because I am slowly making steps forward within a process. So those things kind of balance out each other a little bit. If you've seen the pattern, as I've talked about each of these things, it's that you need to recognize things for what they are and to embrace them to a certain extent. These are parts of your personality. They're parts of who you are. And these are things that are okay. And once you kind of start to identify them, I think it's easier to mitigate them. Now, you might also see that some of these things I've really been able to leverage in a very positive way. And in part, it's because they can be combined with superpowers, like I mentioned a couple episodes ago. But I think also the more that you embrace yourself and the more that you understand that you kind of function in certain ways, even if those ways are kind of negative on the surface, the more you embrace yourself, the easier it becomes to live out the superpower side of your work and to understand how those superpowers can work with these other areas of your kryptonite. And that's the most important thing. Having that self-confidence, having that self-knowledge allows you to leverage all of this in your favor. So hopefully those examples help, and maybe you're thinking of your own kryptonites at this point and how maybe you can leverage them for the positive. Of course, I would love to hear about that. You can always email me at contact@kdlinder.work or tweet to me at kd_linder or contact me on Instagram at kd_linder to share your own experiences with kryptonite. So thanks so much for listening. And I'll be back later on next week with a book review for November, as well as new episodes of Think, Write, Revise, where I'm wrapping up my November novel writing month updates and next week's question on LifeWork Q&A. Thanks for listening to this episode of LifeWork Q&A. Show notes and a transcript for this episode can be found at kdlinder.work/podcasts. LifeWork Q&A is part of the Radical Self-Trust podcast channel, a collection of content dedicated to helping you seek self-knowledge, nurture your superpowers, playfully experiment, live your core values with intention, practice loving kindness toward yourself and others, and settle into your life's purpose. Learn more about the RST channel at kdlinder.work/podcasts. If you found this episode helpful, please also consider rating and/or reviewing the show in iTunes. Thanks for listening.